2 minutes past 10 o'clock. Welcome to Little Heaven. Not Haven, but Heaven here. So having a healthy marriage is not as simple as just wishing it into existence. It takes hard work and dedication by all parties involved and a whole heck of luck, right? But your marriage doesn't have to be a chore. It can be a blast too. And with this marriage series, we are going to be speaking to seasoned and new ones, by the way, couples who have experienced, you know, it all and have worked to make their marriage a little heaven. So please do get in touch with me on +27734703520 as we journey together in this session of Little Heaven. So let me know, you know, what your thoughts are on +27734703520. This whole month of June, we are doing all of this, right? So today we're speaking about all things expectations, and expectations in marriage are like guiding stars to help navigate the journey together. You know, they are the hopes, desires, and standards we bring into the relationship, shaped by our values, expectations, and dreams. However, they are also dynamic, evolving with time and circumstances, requiring communication, understanding, and flexibility to navigate it effectively, right? So healthy expectations in marriage serve as a roadmap outlining the mutual vision and aspiration shared by both partners. They provide a sense of direction, guiding behaviors and decisions towards common goals and values. When aligned, expectations can foster connection, intimacy, and fulfillment within the relationship. So we're speaking about all things expectations today. And my name is Zanele Zama, by the way. I am your host for this beautiful show that we are going to be having. And in studio, I'm joined by a beautiful couple today, you know, so you're going to be seeing them here in a short bit or so. There is a little bit of a backstory to them. They're going to tell us, you know, who said, "I have seen you first," or it was something else. Asaz, you know, they're laughing. They're going to tell us, you know, who was like born, the rib of my rib, "I have found you." Or it was like, "God, we have prayed and we have seen you," you know. So it's going to be quite interesting that I'm joined in studio. Who, ladies first or men's first? I don't know. We joined in studio by the Mayales family. I said it correctly, right?
Almost.
We tend to Englishize things. Okay, all right. So I'm joined by Rodney. A brief about Rodney is that, you know, everything that you're seeing, that's in AWR on our social media posters, he designed them. Even this beautiful poster, he decided to go to Bona. I'm part of the guest, so I'm going to make it to be super nice. So he's, you know, and he's not alone, obviously. He's coming together with his wife, who allows us to, you know, to text the husband late at night. We apologize in advance. You know, we apologize for the past ones, and we also apologize for the ones that are yet to come, because we do text him at night. You know,
we're like, them first.
You know, we're like, "No, we need this poster." And I'm sure she says, "No, baby, no, not this color scheme, this one." Eh?
Oh,
yes.
I show her at the end. Not
really?
I tell her, "Do not interrupt my process. I'll show you at the end so I can get your input."
But really?
Before, hey, let me do my artistic
thing. Okay. All right. So, family, to all listeners at home, you can text us there. You can drop your comments on the Facebook page or YouTube page. But then on studio, you can dial us on +27734703520. We're speaking about all things expectations for the whole hour. So if you are thinking of getting married, this is yours. But if you're already married, it's still ours, because we are still expecting things in our marriage. So as we kick it off, who saw who first?
You can explain.
I can explain who saw who first. let's see. So it was school. We're in school, university.
Okay.
It was at that time called Medunze, SMU. It's called SMU now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at the foot of a mountain in Garankuwa, Pretoria. So we were first year students. So I'm not sure what led to us, you know, when you're first year, you have a group of friends, a bunch of friends, and you of course come together. So in the beginning, you don't just have the friends that you have immediately. Of course, it'll change every now and then.
Mm.
So yeah, we hop from friend to friend, of course. But then we met as a group of friends.
Okay.
So when I saw her, I was not immediately attracted to her. She knows this. I thought she was not. First of all, that's like the first point of expectation. She did not meet my initial expectation. So off the bat, immediately, I was not immediately attracted to her. Not because she's not pretty or anything, but yeah I had an expectation, of course.
Okay.
But yeah, we saw each other at the same time. So we spent, of course, the first year being friends.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we sort of saw each other in a group of friends. That's how we met.
Okay, all right. So I remember now when I was asking, how long have you been married? I expected you, Rodney, not to know. Anyway, it's okay. We understand, men, we understand, right? You guys saying that you got married in 2020, but there are things that happened before. And I remember when I was doing my prep with Casey, and I was like, they have to tell us, why were they together for so many years without getting married? Why the delay, though? Because you've been together since 2015, I think, right?
Yes,
since 2015. So why the delay?
I think it's because we started this journey in varsity.
Okay.
We're both broke, very broke. And you know, in African culture, you have to, when you take out money, that's when you get married, you know. So yeah, that was our biggest issue. But us, we knew after like a year that we wanted to be together forever. So we tried a lot of things to, you know, cement our, let me call it, union. But yeah, let's not get into details. It's a bit embarrassing. But yeah, we for us to even be here now, I think it's because we started taking ourselves seriously a long time ago.
Okay. All right. So now when we now, let's jump straight right into the expectations, right? So Rodney is saying that when he first saw you, you were not part of what he was expecting, right? I think all of us, we do have those things once in a while. But when now you finally got together, you know, how did your expectations of each other now change from when you were starting dating, right? Because it's a varsity thing there. Yes, in Wonkomondo broke. Don't worry, we're all eating bread and eggs every day. It's okay, we understand.
Or you just know? Bread.
Yeah, you know. So how did the expectations change from you are dating, you're still learning even the simplest things about this person to when now you guys got married? How was the change there?
I think being from, you know, you date even like when you're like 18, 19, still in high school, and you meet different people and they kind of give you an idea what a man is supposed to treat you like, even your father, your uncles, everything around you.
Yeah.
But when I met him, when we started dating, he was a different person. There was something about him.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
Because from my experience, I'm supposed to get hurt. But this guy is gentle and is nice and, you know, he doesn't fight. He doesn't, you know. So it's like, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, we're just winging it. I will see how far this lasts. Maybe it's just in the honeymoon stage and we'll see how fast this gets us. But yeah.
Okay. Rodney?
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, she's essentially said it. I also had, you know, as men or even young people in general, we always have boxes, you know, that we want to tick.
Yeah.
We have a type. She needs to look like this.
Yes.
She needs to look like that. She needs to do this. She needs to do that. But when you get into contact with the person, when I started dating her, what drew us together and what made me stay with her, at least what made me approach her, what made us glued together, what stuck us together, it had almost nothing to do with the expectations.
Ah.
So it's like I fell in love with the person.
Okay.
And then I think you mentioned in the beginning that the expectations become dynamic.
Yes.
So you end up winging it without even realizing that you're winging it.
Yeah.
So, of course, there'll be those hard expectations that people would generally have.
Mm.
Faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, like she said. However, all those other superficial, predetermined expectations that we tend to have,
mm-hmm.
they sort of went out the window once you are now in love. So my friend used to make a joke. I don't know if it's appropriate, but he said that
it's about love today. Don't worry, it's PG-18.
No, he said something. It's slightly offensive. He said he was saying to me because I was very me and him were mean to each other and stuff. So he says, "I hope God makes you fall in love with a really, really, really fat girl."
Okay.
Because he knows that once you fall in love with somebody, all the peripheral expectations,
yes.
they sort of go out the window.
Yes.
And he knew that because when you fall in love, it's different. So yes, the expectations were there before, but they were superficial. Immediately I met her, they all flew out the window.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, earlier on when I was speaking, preempting this, mm-hmm. and I was like, for example, there are people that when they get married, they expect, I know some sort of PG-18, they expect to have sex every day.
Sure.
Right? It's an expectation that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when now they're in marriage, boom, hey, it's not what it is. You know, it's not what you were expecting. You know? So between the two of you, you know, what are some surprises, mm-hmm. you know, or unexpected deliveries about each other's expectations
mm-hmm.
During the transition from dating to marriage?
My biggest one is a baby. When we met, we had this mutual understanding.
Mm.
We are not having kids. We were not having kids. And I was still on that tip.
Yeah.
And then one day, he's like, you know, it'll be selfish of us not to have kids. I'm like, say it, say it. You mean I'll be selfish, you know? But then then everybody was having babies and anyway, we are there now. We have a kid.
I did not guilt trip her. That's not what she said.
But it sounds like that, right?
It did.
No, this is how it happened. But yes, it's sort of like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have an expectation to have a baby.
Yeah.
We spoke about you know, we just wanted to enjoy our marriage,
mm-hmm.
our togetherness. Then over time, it started to creep up in me, of course. I was hoping that she would have the same change of mind. Like, I'm hoping that in the back of her mind, it's sort of changing since we're seeing a lot of babies.
Yeah.
But the way she caved to my request made me feel as though she was just waiting for me to say it.
Oh.
And then she would go.
Yeah.
Me, I love peace.
And the way she loves the boy so much now, I don't think she'll probably thank me for changing my mind. Do you thank me for changing my mind? Yes, that's a yes. I think she does.
All right. Okay. So I remember when I got married to my husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went through a whole marriage counseling thing, the church, and then they were like, no, you know, you must sit down, you must communicate,
mm-hmm.
You know, and also the issues of values as well. Mm-hmm. We had to look at our values. What are your values? What are my values? How do we bring them together? What are you expecting? What am I expecting? You know, the whole issue of babies and stuff. I think we didn't discuss them, but we knew that it was going to happen. Because we're gonna anyway, so so there were times where we did not agree on the expectations, what he expected of me and what he didn't expect of me. You know, so when it comes to the two of you, you know, how did you communicate your expectations to each other? Because I think when we are in the Mjolo phase,
mm-hmm.
the dating phase, it's all quick and nice. Born a baby. After 5 years, we're buying that car, we're buying that house. But now when you are finally said, I do.
Yeah.
You know, that first week of the honeymoon phase, you're like, let's discuss this. Do you expect me to cook every day? Do you expect me to cut out your socks? You know?
Yeah.
Do you expect me really? Is my money your money or you're one of those things? So how did you two, you know, communicate your expectations when dating and now when you were married? Because I can suspect that they changed somehow.
They did. Maybe let me comment on the dating part, mm-hmm. expectations. Maybe she can do the marriage one. Funny enough, when it comes to values and all that stuff, before we started dating, I had, for lack of a better word, I had options before I dated. Because during my dating phase for a long time, even from high school, I was afraid of women. I was terrified of girls, so I could never approach them. So
yeah.
I only had one ex before I met Lucy.
Clean person.
Yeah, so she was she was literally the second person I ever dated.
Yeah.
So before I dated her, I sort of had maybe two other girls that I thought that, okay, these ones might be potentials.
Okay.
So I asked my brother, I'm like, hey, dude, I don't know what to do. There's this girl, this girl, this girl. Then he tells me, he's like, hey, invite them to church.
Yeah.
Whichever one comes with you to church.
Okay.
Should be the one that you're doing. So I also prayed about it. I'm like, God, I want this person to have values that align with God, first of all.
Mm.
And I can't tell what's in their minds. Mm-hmm. I don't know these people completely. The person I knew at least the most was, of course, Lucy, since she was my friend for about a year at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited her to church. And turns out she was on a path that was seeking out God.
Oh.
You see, so it's almost like our paths, they crossed, because at that time I was also trying to find my footing in Christ. She was at the same time trying to look for God. So of course she's the one that responded to that call.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how sort of we came together. So our values to some degree at that time, they did align.
Yeah.
They started in God.
Yeah.
That's where they aligned first. And then, of course, the expectations during, we didn't have a formal, you know, like you said, it's always fast and loose when we're dating.
Mm.
We don't discuss too much, but the basis, the foundation was God. So for me, that was sort of enough at that time.
Mm.
So now when we get to marriage, things change, because now being together for a long time, we have some faults and some things that are so that start to come to the surface, because now you're off the honeymoon phase. Things get tough, things get tricky. And I would admit this because I'm a man.
Yeah.
Of course, my communication was terrible.
Yeah.
Off the bat, my communication was a struggle, and she had to use pliers and spanners and screws to try and panel beat me into communicating.
Yeah.
So maybe let me let her speak on that, because communication.
I think I trusted the process of God once I started becoming an Adventist and started understanding what is expected of me as a disciple of Christ.
Okay.
Like, I'm supposed to be peaceful. Mm. I'm supposed to make a warm home. I'm supposed to be nice. You know, I was not any of those things before when we initially met. I was rude and, I was not nice to hang around with.
Mm.
So he became kind of like a project, you know, when women are like,
fucking project management.
I will build him. God really showed me with a really stubborn man. He is very stubborn.
Was.
So, yes, you were stubborn. But then, you know, I learned how to deal with people who are different from me. Who
was,
and, you know, what's the thing that made me not to, like, expect too much from him? It's because he's nice.
Okay.
He's kind and he's genuine.
Mm.
So when he does a mistake or he doesn't follow through on something that he promised, you know, certain things, I could forgive him, because it's not like he's doing it out of spite or because he hates me or whatever. It's just his kindness made me softer.
Mm.
So that's how we were able to, when I have an issue, then we sit down. I don't like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can we do it this way and this way and this way? And most of the time it will be an argument, because he's very stubborn. It will be an argument, but you give it like 3 months.
Mm.
You give it 3 months, you keep quiet, it continues for a bit. And then after that time, you see changes and you're like, now I noticed you've stopped doing that. Oh, now you do this. Oh, that's so nice.
Mm.
And you just see the hand of God in everything, making us compatible for each other.
Yes.
Each day, one step at a time.
Mm. 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 Okay, to our listeners at home and those that are watching us on our Facebook and YouTube pages, the conversation is continuing as well with you. You can let me know on +27 734 703 520. That number is +27 734 703 520. Let me know what your thoughts are in terms of expectations. You know, you want to get married. What are your expectations? Or you are married. What are things that people should not expect in marriage, you know? So we're going to start taking those at around 10:30 or so. We're going to also include you into the conversation. So let us know, what should you not expect in your marriage and ETC, right? So now looking at our couple here, Ronnie, you know, and listen here, surely as individuals, you have your own expectations about your own lives or about mm-hmm. your own self, mm-hmm. Right? With self that you have, you're like, me, for example, me as an, this is what I expect mm-hmm. about my life. You know, this is, and then I do the goals. You want my goals, I'm me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. But now you're having this person who sleeps next to you or snores, whatever, you know. Now you're, you know, whenever they enter the house, you know, they just throw their shoes everywhere or, or any otherwise, you know. So how do you guys find it challenging, or how did you navigate the issues of your individual expectations? Because now you're one. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I know one of the days we're going to speak about individuality, but now here you are, you're individuals. Now you are one. Mm-hmm. How then do you align those individual expectations into your marriage? You know, how do you bring them into that oneness? Did you find it challenging, or it's something that was, born, this is easy, Psalm 23 kind of vibe?
Well, that with the individuality aspect, I think it might have been a bit easy. Uh-huh. You see, I always tell people that for the world out there, mm-hmm. it's difficult in marriage if you don't know who Christ is. Because mm-hmm. the very essence of Christianity is to die, you know, and so it makes it very, very easy in a marriage to express that forgetfulness of self, so that mm-hmm. it can blend. Mm. And you see, if both parties are willing to subordinate what they individually wanted, and then to blend them with each other, I think it's a bit easier. So with us, on my side at least, I didn't find it a difficult thing, because I was willing to understand what she wants. Mm. Not that my individuality wasn't knocking on the door. Of course, every now and then, you try to be, you're a bit selfish. And I do admit that sometimes I do get selfish sometimes. But with with drawing back and remembering that you're supposed to be a Christian, it makes it easy. Mm. So it's not, you don't go deep and you don't spiral into selfishness. Mm. You sort of go down, but Christ will eventually bring you up. And those instances that he does bring you up, that's when you find the synergy, you know, you're able to now work together. You know, yeah, that's how I said. So I think with us, I didn't struggle too much, just a bit here and there, but we didn't struggle too much to align. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. So during the Mjolo phase, I don't know why that phase is really nice, but
it's amazing. No responsibilities.
You know, so during the Mjolo phase, you know, we even threaten of dumping you.
Yeah.
You know, there's no commitment there. There is, but not, you know, as when we are now in marriage.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at the expectations that you had before you got married and the ones that you now have when you are married. Mm-hmm. How did that change come about? Because when we are dating, Shem, when I call you, well, obviously we are not staying together, but when I call you, I expect you to be at my beck and call. Yeah. But when we are married, in a way, I know what you're doing at a particular time. So therefore, I'm not worried even if I call you and you are not there. But looking at some of the expectations when we're having when we are dating, there's dates, we have to go to date night and stuff. When you get married, it takes a lot for you to go on a date night. You know, we kind of relegate some of those nice things there. Even walking and holding hands, it's like it's a mammoth task. And when you are in the Mjolo phase, it's a bit easier. You know, so how did you two now marry or put together the expectations we had when we were dating and now when you're married? Because some of them, they're quite good, you know, expecting date nights, wink, wink, husband. They're quite nice, you know. So how did you two come on it?
I think most of it is compromising.
Okay.
Yes. Before, when we were dating, compromising was really hard, a hard pill to swallow. You just wanted your way, and nothing else makes sense except what you are thinking and your vision and everything. But then after you get married, you are like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm locked up. The key is thrown away.
That's a cynical way to look at it.
So I better make this work. I better make it work. So but then we've been together for like 9 years, right? Mm-hmm. We've been together for 9 years. And now I think we are more like one person than we were in the beginning. So these days it's way, way easy to agree on something. It's way, way easy to agree. And if we don't agree, we are debaters. Even our child will be looking at us like, yo, you guys have been talking for 2 hours. So we even in high school, you debated and I debated. So we would talk without fighting. Our voices will be like, yeah, but we are not fighting. We're just showing each other. And one thing he likes even doing is pull out scripture. And he knows I can't fight scripture. If scripture says, then I can't really fight. So
In a healthy way. Do you know I use a scripture as a final resort? Scripture has a it deals with opinions.
Yes.
Even I sometimes even pull out a scripture, or at least in my mind, if I have a scripture that goes against even my opinion, then you'll see that that's where the conversation ends. Because I can tell that the scripture is against even my opinion. Then she may or may not know that that's what stopped me from arguing. But I'm not biased in that one. I pull it out even against myself.
No, I thought you don't pull them when they're
No.
But he has taught me also to do that. So also me, when I'm losing, I pull out scripture.
Because
one thing we did after a long time of being together, and you know, the relationships have ups and downs.
Yes.
And most of the ups and downs are caused by the people in the relationship. So we noticed that, like, we lied a lot. We made excuses and stuff like that. The one time we sat down and we told each other, I would never, ever, from this day forward, I'll never, ever lie to you. Even if the truth hurts, I'll tell you the truth. So even when we have arguments, I can't just pull out something that I just made up and stuff. It makes the communication genuine.
100%.
And it will benefit us in the end, because I'm not just trying to win. We're trying to find a solution that will best suit us. So I think we haven't lied to each other since that day.
I like that part, because that one is it's more like something that God has taught us to use.
Yes.
Because that way, not only will we always know from an interview as Rodney, I would never lie to her, because eventually I'll have to admit it.
Yes.
And that's had been a trend from the beginning.
Mm.
So everything that I do, what keeps me a lot from doing things that I know I'm not supposed to do, I'll have to come clean about it. And the coming clean will either break the marriage, even the relationship, or it will put it into rocky patches. So the truth sort of keeps us free.
Yes.
You see that? That's essentially what, that's how we dealt with each other in our,
And we were able to avoid so many things.
So many.
Because at the beginning of a relationship, we went through a lot.
Yeah. how many times have we broken up when we're dating? I think like twice, maybe once,
like, twice
unofficially.
Or three times.
Yeah, maybe
the last time we broke up, I broke up with him. He sent a letter home.
Huh?
Yeah, because he's like, okay, maybe this time I really messed up. So let's just be serious. Yeah, let's just be serious. Mm-hmm. So but it brought us together. Mm-hmm. It brought us together.
Yeah. If it was not a Christian radio station, I was gonna say, Rodney, you are there.
Gee, man.
When you fight, wink, wink, those who still want to get married, when you fight with your person and they dump you for the second time, send a letter.
Seal it. Man.
Send a letter. Utlobola.
Tomorrow.
I like that. So we are going to be taking through now your comments as well. Let me know, what are your expectations in marriage? What have you not, what should people not expect? That's what we want to note from us veterans, you know. We have already said my piece. Or if you are a newlywed or stuff like that, what are your expectations basically in marriage? You know, so let us know. But leadership is basing everything on the word bona. They are agreeing there with you. So earlier on, we received a comment from Bob Zulu. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to get your views on that. He's saying that as much as you admire your parents' marriage, don't expect your wife to be your mother. Or what your mother is to your father. You are marrying Nancy, not your mother.
Yeah.
I know people say women marry their dads. there's something like that. What's your take, guys, on this one? Should we, because we do have our mothers and stuff, you've seen your mother doing this, or you see your dad doing this, now you're expecting Rodney to be your dad, now you're expecting, you know, your wife. How do you guys navigate that, or you've never had that?
I don't know if I should say fortunately or unfortunately, but we didn't have, like, the greatest role models, you know, for relationships. Mm. So when he started treating me the way he treats me, it was like, what? This can happen. Like, you, it's like I found something that I've never seen before.
Yes.
And it was like, okay, all the expectations that were negative were thrown out of the window.
Yes.
So it was for us, I think it was different. It was very different.
Yeah, that's true. Because even for me, I didn't have a really good role model in terms of how to treat a woman, a wife.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's like she said, it was the same in her situation. So when you have a father, like in my instance, he was a good dad to me every now and then, but for the most part, he wasn't very good at treating my mom in the right way.
Okay.
So I could have either adopted his style, you know, of relationship, or I could have gone the opposite direction. And I chose the opposite because that's where God pointed to.
Yes.
Because I saw the effects of ill treatment.
Mm.
You see, boomers, you know, the ones from the, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s, around that time. Yeah,
yes.
Our fathers, maybe also a bit of our grandfathers. They didn't seem, well, I don't want to generalize all of them, but from what I saw, they didn't seem to have a friendly relationship with their wives, especially the men.
Yes.
You see, in this African culture, we sort of had that domineering demeanor towards the wives.
Mm.
They were sort of treated like kids to a large degree.
Mm.
So that's what we saw. We didn't see our parents, our fathers, befriending their wives and having a healthy relationship. We saw them iron-fisting our mothers and treating them like their children.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe if I married my friend, then we can have a more healthy relationship. And, and if we're friends, what would be the reason now for me to change my demeanor and start treating her like your proverbial African wife who must be at your feet all the time and she has no say, things like that.
Yeah.
So that sort of shaped of how I should now approach my wife because she was already my friend from the beginning.
Mm.
So I think, for the culture that I had in my house, I didn't employ it completely. I had a good mom. I had a brilliant mom. My mom was amazing.
Yeah.
So from that, I think she helped me understand what should have been done to her.
Yeah.
So I sort of carry out how my mom should have been treated in my marriage.
Nice. Mm. Okay. All right. We're seeing with this Amanda. They're saying, don't expect anything. Just be strong. Just be strong. Just be strong. Just be strong. Okay, so we're going to take, because there is a question that came through from Pastor Drew, Pastor Andrew, but we're going to take that. But let me take I have a voice note that has been sent through as well. So we're going to be taking that. Let's hear what the listeners also have to say.
Hi, Zanele. Great topic that you'll be having this morning on Little Heaven. And thank you so much again for a great show where you'll be talking matters of marriage and how they can become, those institutions can become little heavens in our homes. I think I want to just share a bit about expectations right up. And I said earlier on when I was with you in studio that it's more a matter of happiness for me. And this is just one of the many things that people sometimes expect marriage to give. If only I can get married, then I can. You know, and one of those things is happiness. Then they can make me happy. Don't expect your spouse to make you happy, that you bring bitterness into marriage and think your spouse now has a responsibility to make you happy. No, that's your own job, Baba. You bring happiness into marriage and they bring happiness into marriage and then you have a happy marriage. But if you bring other things, then you're not going to get happiness because what you bring in is what you will get out. So I think for me, that's just one of the other things that I think we should always be careful to think you will find in marriage. No, it's what you bring in, and happiness is one of those.
Thank you there to Umdala, who's driving, and we could hear that the guy's moving, but he's like, I'm going to comment. what's your guys' take on that? Did you expect each of what, like, the other party to make you happy? Or you're like, I'm happy self, so I'm going to bring the happiness to the marriage, not that I'm expecting, you know, my partner to make me happy. What's your take on that?
Some of these lessons, you learn them as you go, you know.
Mm.
It makes sense why, even in like African culture, that you must listen to the ones who came before you, you know, for a bit of wisdom. Because, in the beginning, it's all about me.
Yes.
I remember one time he told me that you are not the center of the universe. Oh. And I had to be told. I had to be told because I was like a princess.
Ish.
I expected certain things and things could not, you know, happen. And I would throw tantrums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And later I realized that I'm behaving badly. Like, I'm not being a team player.
Yeah.
I want me. How about I serve now?
Mm.
Let me serve him. And it brings you to a point where what makes him happy?
Mm.
And obviously when he's happy, you're not going to necessarily have problems. He will also try to make you happy because, you know, like now the dynamics have changed. Because when you are fighting about every little thing, there's contention in the house.
Mm.
And there's no peace. He doesn't even want to come back. He doesn't even want to spend time with you because you don't bring him peace, you know. But when you learn how to be peaceful with yourself, I mean, Ish, I think most of these things are like childhood trauma, you know.
Okay.
We go through so many things.
Mm.
And you bring these characters in your marriage, even your relationships with other people beside your marriage. And sometimes you need somebody to actually say to you, no, you know, no, you're not getting this.
Mm.
And you see that, oh, okay, I'm not the only one in the world. Like, I'm not the main character in everybody's life. Yes, in my life, but not in everybody's life.
Sure.
So we must try to live peacefully with every man.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. 100%. Sure. I think she said it well, because she also taught me a lot on how to introspect. Because sometimes you can be selfish without even realizing it.
True.
You know, you can be selfish without realizing it. And I was selfish a lot, and I couldn't see it. So she did have to also sit me down, and some of the problems were recurring because they were not fixed.
Yeah.
You know, so she'll bring it up. Then would have an argument, and I used to, before I could communicate effectively, I used to just go silent, you know, and think she's attacking my manliness, my ego, things like that. So I'd go silent and think maybe this is it's an attack on me, and I'm just trying to help. But in my mind, I realized later that I was just being selfish because my ideas and the way I do things has been brought into question.
Mm.
Yeah, but so I would sit down, and this is what she meant by after 3 months, it has changed. You know? It's because now I had to come face to face with the fact that I am being selfish, but it is very deep down to the point where I myself can't even see it.
Hey.
You see? So once I come to terms with that, and God points, it's like, hey, dude, she's brought this thing up.
Mm.
Remember that you're not perfect.
Mm.
It doesn't matter who you think you are. You remember you're not perfect. So once you come to terms with the fact that you're not perfect and there might be selfishness, which is deep-seated, that's when the change starts to happen.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Right. So let's go to Pastor Andrew's comment. He's saying that, before I take that one, to our listeners, if you also do want to comment, send your voice note, ask them questions. You are allowed. They're allowed. They said ask us anything besides, but I know when the besides come, I won't ask it.
you might answer it.
You know, so text us on +27 734 703520. Be also part of this conversation, or you can comment there on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can drop your comments there on the comment section, and we'll definitely take those there. So Pastor Andrew is asking here, marriage seems to be sustained by a promise.
Mm.
A word. How do you two do it? What helps you to keep your word, your promise? Like, what makes you keep that promise that you gave to each other?
God.
Mm. I was about to say the same thing.
God. The moment you even, you realize that, you know what, God, I can't be everywhere. I can't be hopping from one person to the next person. This one that is a bit different, and I can see a bit of you in him.
Mm.
So can you please make it work for me? Even if you have to put me through fire, please make it work for me. And because you have made that commitment, like I said, that when we met 2015, right?
Mm.
Then 16, 17, 2 years into the relationship.
Mm.
2 years into the relationship. We then we're like, we want to be in this forever. We know that challenges are going to come, but what can we do to make this last forever? And we thought about marriage, but we were broke. We were students. And then we just decided one day we knelt down and we prayed. We said our vows to each other. Nobody was there to witness it, but we said our vows to each other that I will try, if God gives me strength, I'll try and be there. I'll get it right the first time. If I can't, I'll get it right the second time. If I can't, I'll get it right. We'll try to be there for each other no matter what. And that has helped us. I mean, like I said, we've been through a lot. And I feel like even in our journey, he has changed a lot.
It's like, a Zili project.
It worked.
And you can only thank God. You can only thank God. Like, there's nothing you can do. You can only thank God. Because when you look at the young couples around us, they are gauching.
Yes.
They are going. I'm even tired of posting on my status that, like, I'm happy, guys, in this relationship.
I have.
Like, when you get a chance, please date, get into dating and fall in love. I'm tired of saying that because when I see people's relationships and I'm like, yo, people are gauching. But who am I to deserve such a peaceful, nice relationship like this? But I realized that, you know, when God says, if my people who are called by my name could humble themselves, you know, like when you humble yourself and you put him first, you put the other person first, you put even the compromising about having a child. It was not a loss for me or him forcing me to do something.
Yes.
It was like, I'm going to make him happy. This is what he wants. So I'm going to do it. You know, like I did it with such a enthusiast. I was enthusiastic, but it worked out in the end. Because now I'm happy.
Bona.
He's also happy, but the boy is amazing.
Yes. No, I totally agree with her. It's a divine institution. There's no way it can work. You can't fix it. It's like trying to take your Ford to a Chinese mechanic. It won't work.
Yeah.
You need to take it back to the one who designed this thing. You remember, it's a reflection of the family of God. So for us, if we did not have God, actually, we can even trace every time we had problems. It's because one or either both of us had strayed. Immediately. It doesn't take long. So immediately you stray from God, even in the dating phase, because many of us think that God should not be involved in courtship, and He has to be involved in courtship, because your courtship is going to affect your marriage. What you train yourself to do in courtship, you're just training for marriage, because marriage does not change your mindset. It just officializes what already you believe and what you stand for. So if you invite God in your courtship, He can create that bond which you want to travel with you throughout your marriage.
Yeah.
And so we decided, like she said, that we're going to stick. It doesn't matter what happens. We've broken up, come together, broken up, come together. But in our minds, we were stuck from the beginning. And we couldn't imagine it any other way.
Okay. All right. So let's take also, there's another voice note that has come through as well. Okay. Yeah. From one of our listeners. So if you also do want to send through your voice notes, let me know on +27 734 703 520.
For the first question, the expectations that we have in entering a marriage differ according to how we were raised. And mostly from girls to boys, also, I mean, men and women, there are those expectations where men expect someone who'll cook, clean, and raise kids. And where women expect a provider, a protector, a money maker. So, but what were my expectations coming into the marriage? That's a question for later. Okay, for number two, what should you not expect in marriage? Don't expect a... Okay. I mean, don't go to the marriage expectant of a specific thing. That's all. I mean, the secular people, they say expectations breed resentment or greed or what's not. So if you're coming, come there bringing, don't come expecting. That's what I would say.
come bringing, not expecting. You know, he raises, the listener, they raises something that I also wanted us to touch on. When we grow up, even though I also didn't have someone to look up to when it comes to marriage or anything, but society grooms us in a way that when you are a wife, you are expected to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sure.
When you're a husband, you're expected to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think most of the time when I speak about boy issues on the show, I become so, because of, I think maybe because I've got two boys or anything, but I'm like, you're putting too much pressure, man, on these people. They don't need it. you know, the pressure is going to kill them at the end of the day. But that still goes to say, I remember a few weeks back, through 3 or 4 weeks back, I was having these pastors, or gentlemen, let me just say, these men, you know, so I was giving them a ride somewhere, and then we spoke about it. They're like, oh, you're still going home to cook? I was like, no, my husband is cooking. They're like, you know, I'm like, wait, don't you all cook? You know, so their response they gave me was that if they were seen in the kitchen, it would be like a taboo.
Yeah.
Not that they don't want to do it, but because of how society and culture has trained them. You understand? So now coming back to you, how did you navigate the societal expectations that that are there when it comes to marriage? Because they expect you to every day come back and cook.
Yeah.
Rodney, you must design the posters for AWR and bring the money to the house. Even when there's no work, you must find work.
You must find
work. You know, the garden must be proper. Cut, the grass must be cut proper. That time, the woman does not even know where the spade stays. You know, when they see you now as a woman holding a spade, going to what are you doing? It's not your job. Your job is to raise the children, you know. So how do you two navigate the issues of what society is expecting from both genders when it comes to marriage?
Maybe. You see, I was doing actually on this issue presentation yesterday at Sunnyside. And we were talking about what makes a man manly.
Yeah.
Because society has, to a great extent, misconstrued what the concept of a man is. And one of my elders was telling me that man is not a provider.
Okay.
You see, it's interesting. A man is not a provider. That's just one facet of what he is expected to do, at least in an ideal sense. So he's not necessarily a provider. He's supposed to be a leader. Now, a leader has a lot of tentacles to him, or at least a lot of things that are under his portfolio. So he has to manage things around. That's what being a head means. So for society, they have put pressure on a man to make more money, you know, even if the situation does not allow, you should get it. So that's being unreasonable now. So we have an unreasonable understanding of what a man should be. It's completely unreasonable. That's why you see a lot of men even taking their own lives, because they cannot reach the standard that society has provided for them. And that's not an intrinsic standard. God has made man a man. And by virtue of being a man, he's supposed to be a leader in the house if he's going to get married.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is supposed to happen regardless of whether he makes more money, regardless of whether he can do this or that. He has to be still a man. So the way we navigated it is, you see, she has a full-time job.
Yeah.
Well, it's not completely full-time. She determines based on appointments and things like that. So mostly of the time, I'm the one who's at home taking care of the child.
Okay.
You see, sometimes
taboo.
That's now a taboo. So now I'm the stay-home husband, in quotes. You see, so because of the way our society works in terms of how far we have come as a society, women now can make more money. They can have jobs that men did that they did not traditionally have in the past. And so we had to work around that and decide how we're going to proceed with that. If I was unreasonable, I was going to this is now just in my home.
Yeah.
If I was unreasonable, I was going to make sure that she is a stay-at-home mom, even though that is not the most that's not the most healthy way, or that's not the best possible route that we can take. I'll do that. And that wouldn't make me a good leader, because I am considering my ego above what actually works. You see that? So as a leader, you have to now consider what works beyond your selfish ego. That's where self comes into the picture again.
Yeah.
So in us resonating with each other and discussing how this thing can work the best, this is how we navigated. We had to a great degree, exclude what society thinks a traditional marriage should look like.
Mm.
We had to exclude that, ignore that a lot of the time, or else we wouldn't even have our own mental peace.
True.
It won't work. Yeah. You won't be able to show yourself, because they'll be like, hey, dude, because sometimes it does come up. When people see me being with the child most of the time, what are you doing? If they see me, I'm the one who's cooking today, or they'll be like, what's that?
Yeah.
Even if I'm taking the clothes outside to hang, I have to be at the washing line.
Yeah.
And the other people there who'll be wondering, hey, dude, you're the man. Where is that lady of yours? Why are you hanging things like that? And they can't. So they're getting a short circuit in their mind because of the societal shock. You know, it's changing. So, Tina, we had to a great degree, ignore what society thinks a traditional relationship should look like. Yeah.
And we had to even like talk about it, like sit down and talk about it, like this is what's going to work.
Yeah.
He spoke mostly on what men are expected to do.
Mm.
Also women, you know, like you're expected to clean, cook, do everything else, still go to work, have a baby, and then lose the weight in 3 months.
Hey, you know? Bona.
And it didn't work. It didn't work. And having a partner who understands
that
our relationship is different and understanding, like being more modern than focusing like on the past.
Mm.
He would encourage me. He would be like, no, you don't have to do that. I'll do it.
Yes.
Like I didn't have to like force him.
Mm.
Be like, to be like, oh, today I'm tired. I can't cook. And he'll be like, you know, he would just initiate. He will call me. I'll call him. I'm coming back. I'm so tired. Maybe we can eat bread. Then he's like, okay, sharp. Then when I come back, there's like a fully cooked meal.
Aww.
And then we just eat, you know, and it worked out for us. So now we don't even discuss it anymore.
Yeah.
We're just like,
it's automatic.
It's automatic. It's like synergy. We're flowing into this. And now for me, the biggest thing was him defending me.
Yeah.
And me defending him,
even
to the outside people, even to family.
Family.
Yes.
We needed to have each other's back. Like, you can't talk to him the way you want because you are my mom or my dad.
Mm.
And you can't talk to me the way you want because you are his relatives.
Love that.
You know? So we protected each other and it works for us. So.
Mm. And I can just see it there. There are those who are saying, "Mam,
please,
silly Lord." But no, there's that other one.
Please give me more.
You know, undergarments.
Yeah.
We know such stories. Because when we were growing up, you know, we'd see couples like that and then, hello. Okay, so to our listeners who don't understand, the listen is like they've used a muti on the person. So that's why they're behaving the way they're behaving.
Use a stronger one.
With the cooking spoon, not the eating spoon. And I'm loving that, you know. And you raise something that is quite important: the issues of defending your person. When we were going through our marriage counseling, I still remember Lua Mama, where she said, "Uguti, whatever happens, defend your person." Mkogise.
Mm.
Jonathan, cover your person. And I think for me and my husband, I saw that in the first year or two.
Ow.
Now I need to. And he also needs to. Do you understand? And it was not that anything happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's or anyone said anything. We were avoiding the saying to happen.
Okay.
You understand?
Preemptive.
Before you can even say,
sure.
Let me kogisa my husband. Mm-hmm. Let him kogisa me as the wife. Do you understand? Before anyone else can. Because there's a lot of things that we have dealt with or that we are dealing with. But the outside world, they're like, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know that our time is running out. But let's take this other voice note that has come through and then a comment there from Pastor Drew before we end up.
In marriage, I expect sex. I expect love. And after love, more sex. And after that sex, the cousin of sex. Sex, yeah. And then it is uncle too, and the aunt of sex. Even the parents, man of sex, is important in marriage. Yeah, you know. Yeah. That's what we expect.
Can I comment to that, Zanel, before you close it there?
Okay.
When it comes to sex, you need to stop wanting cousins and the mothers. Your sexual appetite, if it is not dealt with at an individual level, it's going to destroy your marriage.
Hey!
It will destroy your marriage, especially from the man's perspective.
Yes.
Even I had to learn that if you do not control yourself in terms of your sexual appetite, your marriage is not going to, it's not there to solve it. In the Bible, it does say that if those that are burning, let them get married.
Yeah.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that your burning should be unreasonable.
Yes.
If it's unreasonable, it'll be continue to be unreasonable.
Yeah.
Remember that people are different. We have different appetites.
Yeah.
We have different drives.
Yes.
So you have to still find a way to balance it.
Yeah.
Once as a man you think that you're getting into marriage just to have sex, once your partner is tired or you lose that gloriousness that it had in the beginning.
Yeah.
Your appetite won't die. You'll just try and fill it up
with other things.
Yes, other things. Firstly, you might try and become unreasonable to your wife, especially if you've been watching porn.
Mm.
You might become unreasonable to your wife. And if that doesn't work, you'll try and find somebody who can at least fulfill that.
You will expect your wife to do what they're doing on the things that you're watching.
On the things that you're watching.
Expectations.
Exactly. So now your expectations are not going to match with reality.
Mm.
And once that doesn't match, that's when sin now lies at the door.
Mm.
You're going to destroy your marriage. It'll be destroyed.
Yeah.
It will be destroyed. But if you can ask, even God is there even to curtail even those unreasonable appetites.
Mm.
He can do that. It's very easy for him to do. So you have to work with your partner or with your wife to make sure that you guys have a reasonable way to deal with sexual appetites.
Yeah. Pastor Andrew is saying there, I love this lived experience sharing of marriage, a real experience sharing. A man is a leader. A leader knows how to use resources around him to make things happen, even the resources coming from the wife, provided he is leading in a direction of the kingdom of God.
100%.
Thank you, Rodney. So as we wrap up today's conversation regarding expectations, you guys are back on Wednesday. So we, to our listeners, we're back Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They're here. Next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the Mongwas are here. And then that other week, that's when now we're going to delve more into sex because we're about intimacy. Anyway, so as we wrap up, as we wrap up today's, you know, conversation from the two of you, let's say there is someone watching now or is going to watch later or listen to the podcast later, or they're even current, you know, those things. And they are struggling, one, to deal with the expectations that they had coming into marriage. They're already packed inside. They're struggling to align, you know, the expectations. Or there are people there, they're like, "Eh, yazine, we are going to get married." They've set a date or they're thinking about it. Or some people are even single. For those that are still going to do it, what are some of the things that they should caution in terms of their expectations? Don't expect, you see, that like that listener, sex every day. What should they, you know, be wary of? Not wary, but be mindful of not to expect.
Mm.
Those that are already there are struggling, you know, to align their expectations as a married couple.
Mm.
How should they go about? So maybe one can tackle the other one. So whoever's going to start.
I think that before you enter into any contract, there must be meeting of the minds, right? But even after everything has been said and done, you can still change, right? And things might not go the way you expected them to go about, right? The best thing is to pray.
Mm.
Pray about everything.
Mm.
Pray and be a servant to the person you are about to marry or you're already married to. It'll help you a lot, especially on being selfish or wanting to be selfless. Read your Bible every day and be teachable.
Yeah.
Be more understanding.
Mm.
Don't expect your personal person to be bleeding every time so that you are happy. Just calm down and
calm
realize.
Down.
Don't be intense.
Yeah.
And realize that you are truly not the center of everything and compromising is the way to go.
Yeah, 100%. I think I would say, maybe echoing this, the same thing, what we've been saying. Marriage, even being in a relationship, it's sort of like a school, you know, that we never really graduate from. Mm-hmm. But what we do in school is to vow that we'll always be there. You see, but if you guys enter as students, you're together, you're students, you cannot expect the other one to have a master's degree. You got in at the same time.
Yeah.
You see, so you can't expect them to be already completely qualified. The only person who is qualified is the teacher, and that's Christ, you see. So he's the only one who's qualified. He's teaching both of us. So we should have a meeting of the minds. It's not unreasonable to have expectations, but your expectations should be able to be molded and fashioned according to the circumstances as you proceed. Because you're still learning each other. And you will never completely fully like graduate from that. But I think one of the listeners said that happiness is the key. If we can study on how to make the other person happy, I think in turn it will make you happy. That's how you build a happy relationship.
Yeah. Okay. To our listeners at home, we're going to have to end it here for today. But if you are there, you want to get married, you've heard it from our listeners. It's a beautiful thing. Amazing. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing experience. Is it all roses? No, it's not. Is it all sweets and stuff? No, it's not. You know, there are roses. There are thorns. We can see a rose has thorns. There are ups and downs. There are humps. You know, there are happy days. The Bible says you must not sleep angry, but sometimes you'll be tempted, you know, to sleep angry. You will get into the bed, face the other way. But you know that at night you will come and now spoon them, you know, you hold them. That's the beauty of it, you know, and that scripture there that says that we keep each other warm. It's not just about the physical warmth, but it's also about the life journey. Some of us would not be where we are career wise or anything else if it was not for our husbands, if it was not for our wives supporting us and cheering us up there. So I know that marriage has a bad rep out there. We have to be honest with ourselves. It does have a bad rep out there, but take it from us, it is still beautiful. It is still lovely, and it's sweet. In that sweetness, even if you get the bitterness sometimes, but the sweetness overwhelms the bitterness, right? So this is how we end the conversation on expectations today. The podcast will be ready. You can still go back and watch as well. On Wednesday, we are speaking about a very critical one, which is individuality. When does the me die and the us lives? You know, because it's me, guys. It's me, it's Maliam, it's my money, it's me. When does the me dies? So this is Little Heaven, a feature that we've decided to have for the month of June. We'll be discussing all things marriage. Today we started with expectations. We're going to speak about all manner of things that you think, you know, we should address, because we must revive our marriages. We must get this institution up and down as well. We're also going to speak about temptations one of the day, because they are there, you know. So we do stay safe. Thank you to my couple here, beautiful couple. You know, they are blushing. Let me show you them. See, they are blushing. They are blushing in studio. Thank you for coming through, you know, and coming Thank through you. And Thank speaking you so about your experiences, your lived experiences, as well as allowing us, you know, to drink from your cup as well, Rodney and Lucin. So till Wednesday, it is a goodbye, not for the show. For Little Heaven, it is a goodbye. But for the show, Mid Morning Empowerment, it is continuing right after this. You are tuned.